I'm sure you've noticed that there's a lot of messaging going on online. For example, in 2020, 500,000 new tweets were posted every day. I want to tell you, I don't tweet, so I was not a part of that 500,000. We also created 2.5 quintillion data bytes every day, also in 2020. Now, if you're wondering how many is quintillion, you're talking about one with 18 zeros. Friends, that's a lot of communication going on. Now, if we spent 24/7 reading all of these tweets and watching all the YouTube videos, would we gain the wisdom and knowledge we need as Christians to know God's will? I don't think so. And so in this information age, where do we start as Christians? Do we start with our phone, or do we start with the Word of God? How do we gain this all-important knowledge of knowing God's will? Well, the apostle gives us the answer in the book of Colossians, and his response is capsuled in a prayer. And in this prayer, we find the vital, the necessary knowledge God wants us as his people to know his will. And you say, well, Pastor, why is it so important to know God's will? Because God's will is good, is acceptable, and it's perfect. You cannot live on a higher plane than experiencing God's will. God's will is the will of blessing. God's will is the will of God directing you, showing you that path of life. And so how important it is to know God's will. Now, the New Testament exhorts us as Christians to pray one for another. Remember, James 5:16 tells us to pray one for another, and the reason is that we may be healed. And then James adds, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which tells us God answers prayer. God answers, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, we see throughout the Bible many examples of God's people praying for one another. And prayer is praying for others to know God's will. We have Job, who prayed for his friends. Samuel prayed for Israel. Hezekiah prayed for Judah. Daniel prayed for Israel. Jesus prayed for his disciples. The Jerusalem church prayed for Peter's release from prison. I think we all remember that story in Acts chapter 12. And again, the text of the morning, Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. And in this prayer in chapter 1, it consisted of two elements. Paul's petition in verses 9 through 11, and Paul's praise in verses 12 through 14. This morning, our focus will be on Paul's petition that the Colossians would know God's will. And in knowing God's will, there comes a wholeness to your life. And that wholeness is followed by the walk of your life. Well, Paul had heard through Epaphras, the founder and pastor of the church at Colossae, of the faith and love of these church members. In verses 3 and 4, we read these words, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have for all the saints. Faith and love, verse 7. And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your faith in the Spirit. And I say, how wonderful to hear of a church spiritually prospering, to learn that God is fulfilling his plan and purpose through this body of believers. And because of this favorable report, Paul declared in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, heard of your faith and love, do not cease to pray for you. Be grateful when someone says to you, I'm praying for you. If someone has said to you this morning, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you, your immediate response should be, thank you. I need your prayers. Pray for me. Now, usually most of our prayer time is focused on those who are going through the trials and tests of life. Amen? And certainly we should pray for those in distress and affliction, for after all, as James tells us, we are to pray for their healing. But the Lord also wants us to pray for those living right and doing what is pleasing in God's sight, as were the Colossians. And the reason, so that they can have victorious strength to make even greater progress in their spiritual walk. In other words, to grow even more. And such saints need our prayers, for Satan and his evil allies aim their strongest opposition and greatest attacks against those who are faithfully striving to follow Jesus wholeheartedly and seeking to advance the Great Commission in this world. If you're trying to do God's will, I can tell you, you need people praying for you because you are going to be attacked. Now, for what did Paul pray? Did he pray that the Colossian Christians would be comfortably rich and popular? No, verse 9 tells us he prayed that they would be filled. And the Greek word for filled means to be completely filled, meaning to be totally controlled. He prayed that they would be totally controlled by a deep and thorough knowledge of God's will. Notice verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And please understand, there's no better way to live than in the center of God's will. And the knowledge of his will comes, as the end of verse 9 tells us, through spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now let's define wisdom and understanding. The Greek word for wisdom refers to the ability to collect and concisely organize the principles of Scripture. While the Greek word for understanding refers to the application of those principles in everyday living. Now, growing in God's wisdom and understanding comes from spending time in the Word, gaining a knowledge of God's Word. And this knowledge comes as we open God's Word, as we pray over God's Word, as we say, Lord, as I read your Word, as I study your Word, as I meditate upon your Word, as I memorize your Word, show me your path of life for me. Show me your will for me today. Might your Word, Lord, be that lamp to my feet, that light to my path. Don't you think God will answer that prayer? Is that how you pray? Are you praying in the morning, Lord, I need your will today. I want to do what's right. I want to do what pleases you. Show me your will today. And as you are in God's word, God's will, which is good, acceptable, and perfect, will be unfolded in your life. There's no higher level of living than living in God's will. You want the ultimate living? It's not living in Beverly Hills. It's living in God's will. And so Paul prayed that these Colossian believers would know God's will by rightly applying biblical principles to life's daily circumstances. And having this spiritual wisdom and understanding govern our minds is the key to righteous living, for whatever controls our thoughts will control our behavior. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when we are so spirit-directed in God's will, the inevitable result will be wholeness manifested in a worthy walk, an excellent walk, a walk that honors the Lord, which brings us to our outline. Having a knowledge of God's word, which leads us to God's will, leads us to wholeness. Our theme for the year is finding wholeness in Christ. If you want wholeness in your life, you have to be in God's will. God's will brings to pass wholeness, and wholeness brings to pass a worthy walk. So you have God's will, wholeness, and then a worthy walk. In this portion of Scripture, There are five virtuous traits that mark a worthy walk. Now, what Paul prayerfully desired for the Colossian church and what I prayerfully want for our church is seen in verses 10 and 11, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, to please him in every way. Now, the word walk in the Bible refers to our pattern of daily living, how we regularly conduct ourselves. And this manner of living is to be worthy of God, who calls us unto his kingdom and glory, who beseeches us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, who implores us to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. But first, our minds must be, as we've said already, controlled by a knowledge of God, which brings to pass an understanding of his will. And then Christ, the living word, who dwells in our hearts by faith, comes alive in us. And we say, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And thus the Christian walk, this Christ-glorifying walk, comes to pass and then is marked by these five holy virtues. Point number one, a worthy walk is a fruitful walk. A worthy walk is a fruitful life. Paul says in verse 10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, what is spiritual fruit? How does the Bible define this fruit? Well, in a number of ways. For example, converts are referred to as fruit. Hebrews 13:15 defines praise as fruit. Giving money can also be fruit. You see that in Romans chapter 15. Righteous living is called peaceful fruit in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And we're all familiar with what Galatians 5:22-23 references, and that is the holy attitudes of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit. And so again, when we are in union with Christ, when we are abiding in him, and his word is abiding in us, John 14:4-5, we will walk in wisdom. And remember, James 3:17 tells us, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And therefore, we will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. We will please the Lord because we are bearing fruit in every good work. And isn't fruit an evidence of wholeness? A plant that's healthy and whole produces fruit. May this fruit be evident in your life and mine. I love what Spurgeon says here. And he comments on fruitful in every good work. He said, have you the ability to preach the gospel? Preach it. Does a little child need comforting? Comfort it. Can you stand up and vindicate a glorious truth before thousands? Do it. Does a poor saint need a bite of dinner from your table? Send it to her. Let works of obedience, testimony, zeal, love, piety, philanthropy all be found in your life. Do not select big things as your special line, but glorify the Lord also in the little, fruitful in every good work. End of quote. And so I ask you, is your life fruitful? If you're walking a worthy walk, if you're in God's will, if you're whole, you will be a fruitful Christian. Your life will be marked by converts. I mean, you will be telling people about Jesus. Praise. You will have praise on your lips. Giving. You'll be a giver. There'll be righteousness in your life. And your life will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. What a beautiful life, amen? How can you do better than that? Walking worthy of the Lord. The second virtuous trait that marks the worthy walk is a growing knowledge. And what knowledge do we need to grow in? Well, the end of verse 10 tells us, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Which means, like newborn babes, we need to desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word. And why? That we may grow thereby. And when our knowledge of God is growing, several things will then occur. Our love for God's word will grow. We will be more obedient. Our faith will be enlarged. We will possess a greater capacity to love. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And so isn't growth an evidence of health and wholeness? Our 11-year-old granddaughter likes to stand next to her Mimi, my wife, to show her that she's almost as tall as she is. You know, when you're growing, that says something is whole, something is healthy in your life. And so my question is, are you growing in the knowledge of God? I mean, we like to grow in the knowledge of maybe a team that we're rooting for, or maybe a particular subject matter we're studying in school, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think you should pass your classes, amen? If you're going to go to school, study. But the primary growth in our gray matter should be the knowledge of God. Can you look back on your life? Can you look back on 2021 and say, you know, really, I say this humbly, it's by God's grace I grew in my knowledge of who God is, who Christ is. I know I grew in that knowledge. Wonderful things unfold when you're growing in your knowledge of God. There's a love for God's word. You want to be in the house of the Lord. You want to sit under the preaching of God's word. You love the word. There's obedience. There's a growing faith. There's an abounding love that marks your walk with Christ. You know how I can tell if someone's really growing in God's grace and knowledge? There's that love growing for the Lord and for others around him or her. You know what? You can't hide love. I've said that so often, as you well know, because you see me up here. You can't hide a cough and you can't hide love. People know if you love them. And if you're growing in the knowledge of God, ladies and gentlemen, you will be growing in your love for the Lord and for one another. Number three, the third virtuous fruit that marks a worthy life is an empowering strength. Notice verse 11, strengthen with all might. All might. The Greek for strengthen is in the present tense, which signifies a continuous strengthening. And the awesome truth here is we are being constantly strengthened according to his, God's, glorious might, which is the limitless power of God himself that comes to us through the enabling work of the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ephesians 3:16 speaks of being strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Romans 15:13 speaks of abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, which means we can thus say with Paul in Philippians 4:13, you say it with me if you know it, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I was thinking this morning, Lord, I need strength. I need your strength. And it's amazing the strength that the Spirit of God brings to pass in your heart and life when you're walking worthy of him. Again, this power marks the believer who is filled with the knowledge of God's word, which tells us the knowledge of God gives us strength. And being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might is certainly another sign of wholeness. If you're strong, if you're whole, there are things you can do in life. And when you're whole, when you're strong in God's grace, you can be a vessel that God can use to advance his kingdom. And we can therefore stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not being led astray by the latest fad or lie of Satan. We are not being deceived. We are being strengthened by God himself. When you look at your life, do you see a life of weakness or do you see a life of strength? Then the fourth virtuous trait that marks a worthy walk is a steadfast endurance. The end of verse 11 says, unto all patience and long-suffering. Now, what is Paul saying here? He's telling us that the knowledge of God's promises and purposes, his will revealed in his word and then personified in the life of Christ, the living word, gives us strength to patiently and steadfastly endure this journey called life. And isn't life tough? Isn't life one trial, one test after another? Which says we desperately need this strength. Numbers of people told me this week, I have COVID. We need desperately this strength. And with God's might, it means then that we can be patient. When you get COVID, you can be patient. You can be long-suffering with people, especially with other family members, and how needful that is. I can assure you that this long-suffering with your brother or sister doesn't come naturally to a sin nature. But we can be controlled by the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And what a worthy example such steadfast endurance is, especially when others all around us are losing it. We can be growing in being patient and long-suffering. You know, that is one of the most beautiful testimonies a person can have, being patient. Being patient, enduring the trials and the tests of life, and then being long-suffering with people. Do people rub you wrong? Do people irritate you? I think we all know the answer to that. But you can be strengthened with might so that you can manifest patience. In fact, the text says all patience and long-suffering. What a blessing to others when you exercise long-suffering. We come to our fifth virtuous trait that marks a worthy walk, and that is a joy-filled spirit. Verse 11 tells us, Paul prayed that his readers would be joyfully patient and joyfully long-suffering. And again, the strength gained by the knowledge of God's word enables believers to endure the trials of life joyfully. The Greek used here literally means with joy. When trials come your way, is your immediate response joy? Praise the Lord for this trial. I was just waiting for it to come. My prayers have been answered. I don't think we look at life that way. Amen? The average Joe on the street, if that's how you approach the trials of life, they would think you are a little bit off. Amen? Not normal. But let me tell you, we're not to be normal in this world. We're to stand out. We're to be abnormal in respect to how the rest of the world responds to the trials of life. Meaning we imitate Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Endured the cross. He despised its shame. It is set down now at the right hand of the throne of his Father. The joy that Jesus possessed even as he faced the cross is the same joy you and I can have in our lives, in the face of the difficulties of life. I say, what a miraculous quality to have. A believer walking worthy of the Lord faces the issues of life not in the depths of despair, but with psalms in the night, knowing that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why can't we have joy in the midst of our uncertainties, difficulties, question marks? Because we have the living God living in us who can manifest that love and that joy and that peace. And joy here is another beautiful sign of wholeness. Friends, in this life, our circumstances and the people around us will never be perfect. Life always has its disappointments. But you and I can find continual joy, not just a moment here and a moment there, but continual joy in our relationship with Jesus. And find grace in these times of need to face life, knowing that I'm in God's will and everything is fine in my Father's house. Is that your heart? That's wholeness. That's wholeness. That's spiritual well-being. And so was Paul's constant prayer for his readers. And you and I are readers of the book of Colossians, amen? That we be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And in this information age, that the essential knowledge we need is the knowledge of God's will. For only then can we be whole. Only then can we be worthy of the Lord and live a life marked by fruitfulness, growing knowledge, an empowering strength, a steadfast endurance, and a joy-filled heart. And the beauty here is, as the Lord daily heals our hearts through the knowledge of Christ and His will, Jeremiah 17:14, we will be able to help others find this healing as well. It's not just about you finding healing. It's you helping others find this healing. You can't take people where you're not going. But when you are walking in God's will, when you have a wholeness to your Christian walk, when you are walking worthy of the Lord, God can take you. He can take you as a parent and say, let me help you, son. Let me help you, daughter. Let me help you, granddaughter, grandson, to know how you can live in God's will as well. And so my prayer for you is that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we will be enabled to grow in the knowledge of God's perfect will, which is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It's all about Jesus. When you find Him, you find God's will, you find wholeness, and you find that worthy walk.